The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions.
I think it works twice even. It's enough.
That's what we're starting on. You're right. No. So I briefly looked into the Kofsky on it, and he brings down a number of people who commented and tried to resolve it, but does not say that there's any merit. He said all of the handwritten editions of the Rambam don't have it. Oh, I should give out the thing. There you go. But what I wanted to read, and I'm reading this book because we've been talking about the manuscript thing, but also because I want to tempt you into reading this on your own. Someone translated the entire introduction into English of Kafech's Mishneh Torah thing. Hmm. And I don't think I brought this up earlier in the year. I meant to, though. And I wanted to just read you a little excerpt about, it's just one page about the, just to give you a flavor for like how much chaos there was and like the way he talks about it. So actually, let me just tell you when Kafech was, because I don't even know. Yosef Kafech, born in 1917, died in 2000. Okay, so his grandfather is Yithya or Yahya Kafech, who was the big like anti.
Sorry, what did you say?
For this Kafech is 2000. Rav Yithya Kafech or Yahya Kafech was the leader of the Dor Daim, the anti Kabbalistic Yemenites. 1850 to 1931. Okay, so that's what he's talking about here. So we're just doing a little introduction on something that I thought was interesting. So this Rav Kafech, Rav Yosef Kafech, says, when in my youth I studied the Mishneh Torah with my grandfather, blessed memory, most people use printed books, each with his own edition. But my grandfather and several others had manuscripts which were several hundred years old, each scroll of a different age. And in this whole introduction, he goes through like what he did and like the whole like theft and like the Indiana Jones type aspects. Almost every halacha had annotations with various readings. Some were passed over quickly because of their simplicity, and some aroused debate on the subject and its consequences, whether relating to a halacha that will be not be applicable until the time of Mashiach, or practical matters relating to the customs of our day. These debates were unending daily activities. Now, this is the part that I was amused by. My comment I made about being a doofus and the defus. Something in my mind was like, did I read that somewhere? So here's what he says. The errors and deficiencies of the printed texts, were well known. So much so that the printed books were used to characterize a mistaken person. When someone said something incorrect on some subject, they would respond, "You are like a defus. You are like a printed text," and point out the correction. These matters were inscribed on my heart, and I grew up with the assumption that there are two types of Maimonides texts in the world: that of the Yemenite manuscripts and that of the printed book. With study and investigation over time, I realized that there were very many differences of various kinds between the Yemenite manuscripts and the printed texts, although the differences were narrowed in the case of the older printed texts like the Roman edition. Okay, so this is what I want. So that was one thing I wanted to read. And then I just wanted to read one more thing, just the where he describes the extent to which this happened. He says, hold on. Yeah, but in the printed text, only if, so he talks about how the Rambam would continually be amending the text and then sending the corrections to the Yemenite community, and like it was a constant back and forth, and that's why the Yemenites have the correct have the most up-to-date ones, and how the Rambam himself would consult manuscripts of the Gemara. Like it says here, I've never seen this inside. This follows Maimonides himself, who wrote in chapter 15, Laws of the Lender and Borrower, quote, "And I have already examined the variant text, and I have in Egypt an excerpt of an old Gemara written on parchment in the manner in which they wrote over 500 years ago," which is pretty cool. If the Rambam is like 500 years ago, like that's in like the 8th century, you know, and like he's like checking out the manuscripts. Anyway, one more paragraph here. This is, I'm reading from a translation of Kafech's introduction to the Mishneh Torah. He says, but in the printed text, you got to print the text, Zach. only a few of the changes which Maimonides himself inserted in his book appear, since only a few reached the very early printers. Some of the emendations which Maimonides added, he wrote in the margins on the side, and the copyist did not pay attention to the correct placement and inserted them in the wrong place, causing much trouble and difficult questions in the understanding of Maimonides' words. So that I didn't know about. Like, he wrote corrections and then they incorporated it in the wrong way. I have noted these where they appear. They are few in number, but they have been added to the many errors that were made. The editors tried to deduce changes. The Mishneh Torah was subjected to severe editing by the printers and by various editors who made emendations of style, language, and structure of sentences and the division of halachot. Maimonides himself divided his book into short halachot, as he indicated in his introduction, so that they would be easily studied and memorized. He did not number the halachos, this is what you were asking me about, and the numbers were added by copyists. Similarly, in the case of the Guide to the Perplexed, Maimonides made the divisions, but the copyist inserted the numbering. Okay, fine. The Mishnah Torah was heavily edited to the extent that there is hardly any halakha that has not been amended. I know of no other book that was so severely amended, and the reason is clear. I did not know this. There was no other book that was so widely and rapidly disseminated in many countries, and in particular in the lands of the East. That was the thing also about how the Rambam, one of the groups he wrote the Mishnah Torah for was like the Jews who just have no other guide. And like copies were sent eastward, like to India and stuff very early. And like there were, I think somewhere he says there were Jews there who were like so disconnected from the Jewish community that they were keeping halacha based on like opening the Chumash and like trying to figure it out from there, you know? So like he wanted them to have a complete book of halacha. This distribution and dissemination was in manuscript form so that everyone had a hand in it. As will be explained below, every third or fourth rate scholar who thought himself capable of doing so would presume to try his hand at making emendations and corrections according to his own understanding. Also, there were truly great scholars who expressed their opinion here and there as a result of a difficult issue raised by the words of Maimonides, and they suggested an alternative reading. They never even thought of changing the text of the book, but others after them did erase the words of Maimonides and insert the alternative reading proposed by the earlier scholars, thereby distorting the meaning and purpose of Maimonides. But the original words of Maimonides, if they're understood according to the plain meaning, are crystal clear, and the emendations are nothing but mistakes, as I've noted in the text. And again, this is a 23-page thing, which if you're interested in that kind of thing, then it's there in English. I mean, it's much easier to read in English. I it's in there also, but okay. Anyway, yeah.
Is it where? Mm-hmm. If I want to read it in English?
Is it what?
Where would I find it?
I'll post it in the group. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, then. Yeah. I mean, that is the thing. He says that they have a tradition that like, all questions are answered if you have the right girsa, and I'm like, yeah, right. I mean, Ram says that also, but even Ram knows that, like, you know, that's not the nature of ksav. Like, once you write it down, you're going to have questions and problems. Okay, so I believe we were up to. Actually, what I'm going to do, I'm going to stop the recording here and start anew.
If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/RabbiSchneeWeiss. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweiss Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is @Matt-Schneeweiss, and my Zelle/Chase QuickPay and PayPal are MattSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor an article, shiur, or podcast episode, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at rabbischneeweiss@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening. Thank you to my readers for reading. And thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.